on Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Racing HQ. Here's
On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the end of the minion.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
And it's time for On the Pace with Greg Hayes. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Cozzy. I'm really looking forward to today's show. We're going to catch up with Mark Purden this morning, who is the trainer of Smolder. The news came through recently in the last 48 hours that Smolder had been retired. Of course, the reigning Inter-Dominion champion. He had a very long career at the top, and he was a horse that had a few little issues throughout his career, but he was very well managed by Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen, and He won in excess of $1 million. So we'll catch up with Mark Purden on the show. We're also going to speak with Shane Tritton today. Been a while since we've spoken to Shane on the show, but he had an impressive winner with Gotta Go Yahoo, winning at Menangle on Saturday night. I was hosting on Sky and suggested the horse might be off to Queensland for the Derby, but Shane has decided not to go to Queensland and send the horse straight to the paddock. So I thought we'd catch up with him about that decision. We might also have a chat to him about the new handicapping system. I've had a few trainers contact me about that recently to discuss the positives and also the negatives. And we'll talk to Shane about that new handicapping system. Also today, I want to catch up with Mickey Musket. Now, I spoke with Mick on the show back in towards the end of May, and he had driven a Group 1 winner down in Victoria for his dad. And today, I thought we'd catch up with Mickey. He's on fire. He won a race at Penrith last Thursday night with a horse by the name of Julius Franco. He then won two races at Newcastle on Saturday night, Ideal Investment and Make a Million. And then he went to Newcastle again yesterday, and he won again with a horse called Better Watch Him. He looks like he's got a fair bit of ability. He's a three-year-old that's only had the four starts. So we'll catch up with Mickey on the show, and we'll also speak with Chris Barsby, because Chris, of course, is the race caller in Queensland. He looks after those duties, and he did them extremely well on Saturday night as the carnival continued. I don't know whether you caught it. Friday night, fog rolled in Brisbane. It caused havoc with planes on Saturday morning, people trying to get to Brisbane for everything that was going on up there. But Chris had to call the races off the monitor, and I've got no idea how he was able to call those races because you couldn't see a thing, but he did a fantastic job. So we'll talk to him about that as well. So plenty to speak about on this morning's show. There's a lot happening in the world of harness racing. Going to catch up with Mark Purden first on the program with the news that Smolder has been retired. He was an absolute warhorse. He won the biggest race in Australasia, the Inter-Dominion, last year in WA. He won't be there to defend his title, but he retires with in excess of $2.4 million in the bank. He won 32 of his 67 starts, and he was an out-and-out star. Mark Purden's joining me on the show. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Greg.
What was the reasoning behind retiring Smolder? Problems with the body?
Look, he had a little bit of filling in one fetlock joint, Greg, and although he hadn't been sore, we had the vet just look at him and check it out, and she said there's just a little tear there, and probably it was in his best interest to pull the plug now and give him a good home.
He's been a remarkable horse for the All-Stars team, and a horse that... Look, he hasn't been easy to train. He's had issues along the way, but he's one of those horses that every trainer wants because he just doesn't know when to say stop.
Yeah, that's right, Greg, and that's why everyone's got so much admiration for him, because he's had his little issues along the way, but the level he's racing, it's always hard to get them back, but he's always bounced back and competed at the very best, highest level.
Was he one of the first horses that you purchased out of Australia at the sales?
Yes, he was the very first year.
And what was it about him as a yearling that made you think, yep, I want him in my stable?
He just ticked all the boxes. We weren't going to go silly. The story's probably been well told. We were a little bit lucky to get him because of this disputed bid. But, when he re-entered the ring the second time, we were able to secure him. And so we were a bit lucky that way, Greg.
He didn't make it as a two-year-old. He didn't have a start, but as a three-year-old, he was very good. He was beaten at his first race start, but he won his next six. And from there, you went towards the derbies, and he was placed in both of the New Zealand derbies. And then we saw him here in Australia. He seemed to get better as he got older and the more experience he got.
Yes, he did. He was good rig. Always had a high cruising speed, and he ran some great times even early in his career. But certainly when he got older, I think he was just a real warrior and a tough horse, and just one of them guys you love taking to the track. He gives you 100% every time.
He ran fourth in the Inter Dominion in 2014, but. Of course, won last year's Inter Dominion. That was something special for you. And to be able to take a horse from one side of Australasia to the other and win the biggest race, that must have gave you a lot of satisfaction.
Oh, it did, Greg, yes. And I've never had a lot of runs in the Inter Dominion, and he really did us proud.
I guess it's, when with the talent that you've got in the stable, it's easy to replace a horse like him. But by the sounds of what you're saying, he had a pretty special place there at All Stars because of the sort of horse that he was.
Yes, that's right, Greg. And, he holds a special place in our heart. So he's certainly going to be missed even just round the place.
What about, what about this weekend? You've got more the better going around in the Queensland Derby. He should be hard to beat.
Yes, he should be, Greg, yes. Two runs there have been great, so just keep our fingers crossed for a good draw, but he's certainly enjoying the racing up there.
And what about Lazarus? Where's he at?
Lazarus has joined out to the barn here. And just he's only done about a week or 10 days with us here, but he's done a month swimming in the North Island, so he looks terrific.
And I read a story on your website in the last week or so. Nathan's returning back to New Zealand to work in with All Stars.
Yes, well, he's been a grand old guinea for about 3 or 4 months now, but that was always the intention to come back to us, and he's going to join us in the new season.
It must be exciting to have Nathan back in the fold.
Oh, yes, definitely. Now I'm looking forward to him coming back, and it'll be probably his last year as a junior driver, so we'll do our best to help him out, try and put him on top.
And of course, you're representing New Zealand next month in the World Driving Championships. You must be looking forward to that.
Yes, very much so, Greg. It's my stage of the career. It's a wonderful thrill to be recognised and get the chance to compete with the world's best. So I really am looking forward to that.
Well, mate, thanks for joining us this morning. Sad to see that Smolder has been retired, but he was a fantastic horse for so long, for so many seasons, and gave people plenty of joy. Thanks for joining me.
Good, Greg. Thank you.
There is Mark Purden. He is the trainer of Smolder, and as mentioned, $2.4 million, a horse that only had the 67 starts, but a number of those starts were in Australia. He probably had 20 or 25 in Australia. The feature races he won over here, he won a New South Wales Derby. That was back in 2012. That was at Menangle. Mark drove him. He beat Regal Knight for Kate Gath and Scandalman, who, of course, was the Vic Derby winner. Other feature races he won here. He then won the Len Smith Mile, as mentioned, in 2015, and he beat Bow Tide on that occasion. Lenny the Shark was in that race. That was a Sunday afternoon from memory. Some of the other feature races he won, he won plenty of Group 3s. He ran second in a Sunshine Sprint back in 2015. He won the Ballarat Cup in 2016. He ran second in a Victoria Cup. He won a Hunter Cup. He won a Bohemia Crystal free-for-all, a Group 1 at Menangle. He won the Inter Dominion. He won a Ballarat Cup. He won a South Australian Cup. And then, of course, this year ran second in the Miracle Mile behind Lenny the Shark. So he just had a marvellous, marvellous career. So well done to everyone concerned with Smolder. And, of course, there were some Australian owners in him. So congratulations to Marcus and the team. It'll be a pretty tough week, I would think, for them. Time to have a chat now with Shane Tritton, who trains his team out at Menangle. And he had an impressive winner on Saturday night, a horse by the name of Gotta Go Yahoo. Looks a pretty promising type. He's only had a handful of starts since joining the Tritton team, and he's won most of them. He's only been beaten on one occasion since joining Shane. And I thought Saturday night's win was very good. He went 153.3. They got home in 26.8, and he came from well back in the field. Shane Tritton joins me. Good morning, Shane.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Really well. Gotta Go Yahoo. He looks to be a very, very nice horse.
Yeah, look, we were happy enough, well, lucky enough that Rona and Clive decided to send him over to see how the Australian racing was suiting him. And I did a bit of form on the horse, and he trialled there one day and Albuquerque Beach, beat him a nose, and he beat a couple of herds home. I thought, gee, he must be pretty good. And, you know, he's lived right up to that, and hopefully we're doing the right thing by him now.
So you've only given him the five starts. He's won four of them. His only defeat was at Menangle, and he ran second on that occasion in 152.5, and he was beaten by an older horse in I Will Rock You. After Saturday night, you thought about going to Queensland for this weekend's derby, but you've decided against that. You're going to put him straight in the paddock and concentrate on next season?
Yeah, look, I did a bit of homework on him, spoke to the owners, found out he'd been in work for 10 months straight, and I just thought, you know what, I honestly believe he's a chariot horse, and, you know, if I start going to Queensland, then that's going to probably extend his prep by a month, and I just thought, you know what, I'll do the right thing by him, give him a bit of time, and, look, I think, you know, he's only got to improve marginally just on his racing manners and things, and he'll be right up there with the best 4-year-olds, I would have thought.
Interesting on Saturday night, because since we've seen him here in Australia for you, the normal tactics have been the Tritton way, get out, run and run time. Saturday night, something different. You went to the steward, you said you're going to drive him further back. He raced well and really finished off the race quite strongly.
Yeah, look, I've been wanting to do that. He tells me in track work that he prefers to sit, and it's been hard in his races. And he got beat there one day, and I said to Chris, what happened? He said, look, he just switched off. He said, it's not that he couldn't win. He said once he gets in front and he gets away from him, he just loses interest a bit, and it's more his manners, you know, interest-wise. So we said, look, we'll sit him up, see what he does. And Chris said he just, you know, if anything, he had him covered a long way out and still just coasted the line. So I think it shows us that he's just a bit immature, and if he puts it all together as he gets older, then, you know, he's probably untapped at this point.
Got to be excited, though, when a horse, you know, you go back on a horse for the first time and he still drops a, you know, well, like 26.8 litre to winner. So he's dropped a fair final 400 metres.
Especially, too, it was freezing at that point, and, you know, it's hard for horses to get down to them sort of times when it is that cold. And Chris said he jogged it. He said, as soon as I pulled him out, he said it was just a matter of steering him. And you know, I think it's just good for the future to see that he has got it all there. It's just a matter of giving him the time to put it all together.
Interesting, obviously, Lauren's not driving at the moment, pregnant, and Chris doing a lot of your driving. Where's Lauren at with the pregnancy? She mustn't be too far away from having the child.
Well, speak to Lauren, she's ready for it to come now. but, yeah, she's about 3 weeks away from the due date, and You know, she's keen as mustard to get back out there driving. Obviously, it'll depend on how everything goes. But, look, I don't think it'll be too far away. You know, as soon as she's capable, she'll be out there. And we're excited to get the bub here healthy and healthy and well.
So the new season's only, what, 2 months away? Big chance that she'll be back by the time the new season starts?
If you ask Lauren, she will be. I guess she's just got to see how she's going, but... look, I wouldn't be surprised to see her jump back in as soon as she can.
Okay, what about the condition racing? How's everything going with that? Obviously, you were one of the big supporters of it. We've spoken to Darren McCall on the show a number of times about it. I thought Saturday night was a great advertisement for condition racing. We saw a lot of the short price favourites, the ones that everyone said would win, beaten. What have you made so far of the condition racing?
Look, I think there's a lot more positives than there are negatives. Look, everyone's going to have their one horse that they're going to say, look, I've got a horse that's got a picket fence and it's not going to suit me because I'm going to draw wide. But, you know, as an industry as a whole, look, I think there's horses earning money that under the old system wouldn't. And, you know, I think that's pleasing for me because there's so many horses out there that are really good horses that aren't doing that. And I think people are starting to realise that class isn't an indicator of how good they are. You know, it's depending on the race you're in that night and all that type of business. So there's horses that look like they should be too good, but when they sit down and race over a mile at Menangle, a lot of things come into factor, and it's not always about the M10 better than the M2. It's about luck in running, and you know, I think you know, the punters are probably going to have to start looking at, you know, their form a little bit closer and maybe see that, you know, there's value in these races, and every week there's going to be a new lineup of horses, and you know, it should make the punting a bit better and the racing a bit better.
Salty Robin goes around in the level one race on Saturday night from barrier 10 with the emergencies out. He's only had the one run back. You've scratched him since. Is everything okay?
No, everything's perfect. You know, he couldn't be possibly working better than he is. He does his work so easy. Chris Geary's actually been coming and driving him a bit in track work just to sort of see where he's at. And he just said, look, it's just crazy how good he's going. So I expect him, look, his first run, he probably couldn't have gone better the way the race panned out, and we've done everything right by him, so I'd expect him to be fairly aggressive this Saturday night, and we should find out exactly where he's at.
Interesting to see that the trotter that's named after yourself resumes today. The male model is, what are the plans with him this time?
Yeah, he's got a lot of claims to fame that he's been named after that horse. I don't think it's me. But look, he's a horse that's really untapped. We expect a lot from him. It'll be good to see him line up against Empire Bay today. He's a three-year-old, so we'll get a gauge on exactly where we're at. But yeah, anything less than a really good performance, I think we'll be disappointed. But he is a trotter and he is young, and you know, we'll be happy to get him around.
Yeah, he's only had the five starts. He's won two. He obviously he carries a fair bit of expectation, and it'll be interesting to see just how he goes this time in. You've got a number of runners today. Best of them probably Miss Riviera Bell. She looks like she's flying at the moment.
Yeah, probably her and AFL. I think they're both, you know, in that purple patch at the moment, and you know, both getting equal luck. They should be extremely hard to beat. The mare, you know, she's just crying out to race the better mares and see how she levels up. But at this point in time, she's found herself in a fairly reasonable race today, and I think they both should be hard to beat, to be honest.
All right. I know that we spoke with Ben Woodsford on the show last week, and of course he works for you, and with that broken wrist, meaning that you're a worker down. But thanks for joining us today, and all the best of luck with your horses going forward, and especially that talented three-year-old Gotta Go Yahoo.
Thanks, mate. And just a shout-out to the Connections of Smolder. He's the champion, and I'm happy to see them retiring while he was still healthy, and you know, he can enjoy that. He's done a good job.
Beautiful, mate. Good on you.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
There he is, Shane Tritton, who is the trainer of Gotta Go Yahoo. Now, I mentioned Mickey Muscat on the show earlier. We're going to have him on now. The stable is firing at the moment. Yesterday, tuned in to watch a race on Sky and saw Better Watch Him win a race at Newcastle, and Mick's name came up on the screen. I thought, well, I remember that he won a couple of races at Newcastle, and then I was out at Penrith last Thursday watching a couple of races out there, and he won a race as well. So he is having a really strong run at the moment, and I thought we'd get him on the show to have a chat about how well he's going. Morning, Mick.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, four winners since last Thursday. You've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, right.
Mate, tell us about this three-year-old yesterday. Better Watch Him. He's only had the four starts, and he yesterday broke through for his first win, but he looks like he's got a fair bit of ability.
Oh, definitely. We've always had a good opinion of him. He got hurt as a young horse and had to have 12 months off, and we just took our time bringing him back up. And his first three runs were good, but he just couldn't break through. And yesterday he got it all right and got the job done good.
So what's the plans with him now? Do you give him another confidence builder away from Sydney, or do you bring him back and look for a race at Menangle for him?
He's going to go around in the heat for the Breeders' Crown Tuesday week, and then hopefully he goes good there, and we might head to Melbourne with him.
All right, so we'll watch for him there. Now, on Saturday night, you got the double, a couple of four-year-olds, Ideal Investment and Make a Million, and they won the first couple of races. Did you go to the races thinking that you had two winners on the float?
To be honest, I only thought Make a Million was a real good chance. I just didn't know where Ideal Investment would be in the run. But when he got behind the leader and there was a bit of speed on early, it suited him down to the ground.
So, Ideal Investment, he's a four-year-old by American Ideal, and he's now won six races, and that was his second win in four starts. So, he does like racing at Newcastle.
Yeah, he's won two there now. He just takes a bit to wind up, and when he draws bad and that at Penrith, he can't get into the race, and he just likes that big straight at Newcastle.
It's interesting. Ideal Investment, $14 chance. Make a Million, he was a $9 chance winning race number two. And also Julius Franco on the Thursday night was a roughie too. So it's not like you're going around on two Zon Pops that are just going to win and turn up and do it for fun. Make a Million, he's another one that had been racing well. He won at Penrith back towards the end of May. He didn't race for the best part of a month, but he hasn't been too far away since that last start, or since that last win at Penrith.
He's a really nice horse. He's had a good campaign. You know, he's rarely been out of the place money, and when he gets the right trips, you know, he's very quick and showed it the other night.
And what about Julius Franco? Was that good to see him finally break through for a well-deserved win last Thursday?
Yeah, definitely. His work had been really good and he just wasn't racing as good. So I just thought I'd just jog him for a week or two. And the week before, he ran a real good race when he just got beat. And he just backed it up again on Thursday night. So I think that was the plan. That was the go with him.
And you were less aggressive. You went to the stewards, said you were going to change your tactics. You'd go back and you'd come with the one run. And he seemed to really enjoy that.
Yeah, well, I just couldn't cross the one inside me. So there was no point going forward. And when they backed right off, Josh Billick went in front of me and put a bit of speed on in the race, which helped my fella, and yeah, he had the last shot at him.
Yeah, he goes around again at Penrith on Thursday. He's drawn barrier number three. There's some nice horses in that race. Sam is Perfection goes around. Cool as Elvis for James Rattray, and now Bondi Beach for Kerri-Anne Turner. So not an easy race, but he should be competitive from that good draw.
He should be. It is a harder race this week, but he obviously a horse that needs a bit of luck, and if he gets luck, he might run into the place. You know, he's no champion, but hopefully that win last week built his confidence up.
Well, mate, congratulations with the run you're having. I thought it was important to touch base with you, seeing that you'd had the four winners in a short period of time, and keep it going.
Thanks, mate.
And there he is, Mick Muscat, who win a Penrith on Thursday. It went round as a, I think it was the roughie in a small field. Might have been a $16 or $17 chance, $12 chance, $12.30 on the tote. Then you had Ideal Investment, $13, Make a Million, $9. And then he won that race yesterday at Newcastle with Better Watch Him. And he was a bit more in the market. He was a horse that people were thinking that first win wasn't too far away. He wasn't favourite. He was a $3.60 chance. So Mick's been having a good run of late. Time to catch up with Chris Barsby now. I know he's been busy calling trials this morning, so we thank him for making some time for us. Chris, good morning to you.
Greg, good morning to you and good morning, everyone.
Mate, firstly, before we get into Saturday night and what's coming up, how did you call those races on Friday night from Albion Park when the fog rolled in? We couldn't see them on the screen, let alone you as the race caller telling us what was happening.
It was a battle, there's no doubt about it, and I've spoken to a number of long-time officials at Albion Park, and they've never seen anything like it before there previously. In the past, there's been a little bit of fog, but nothing like what we saw, because basically the whole track was just covered, rolled in probably just after race four and lasted all night into the early hours of Saturday morning. But we managed to spot a few. We saw enough anyway, and we got the right results out. So it was challenging, but certainly a first, that's for sure.
Mate, it was totally different on Saturday night because it was as clear as a bell. You could see for a long, long way. What did you make of the main race? Hector JJ, it only became a sprint home, but, gee, he's explosively quick.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And the best thing about Hector JJ, the brilliant gate speed and the fact that he just comes back to drive a Josh Aiken any time he wants to, like the fact that he can just turn it on that explosive gate speed and then just relax and come back to him, that's a key component of his weaponry, you could say, Hector JJ. Look, he was very good. I thought the runner-up was very good. He was very well driven by Dexter Dunn. He sensed that there was no speed early, whipped around the field, got nice and handy, and made it a real fight over the concluding stages. But Hector JJ, just having that easier run, prevailed. Vastly different scenario looming this Saturday night. We've got a bit of fresh blood coming into the race. Major Croc is amongst nomination, and so too last Saturday night's Menangle winner in Tiger Tara. And Mr. Mojito is amongst nominations as well. Kieran Manning has two runners nominated for Saturday night. Motu Meteor for the Derby. Mr. Mojito amongst nominations for the Blacks of Fake. They're set to arrive on Thursday night, early hours Friday morning. So 26.80, we go from the sprint journey to the staying journey, and it's going to be a real race this Saturday night.
The Queensland Oaks was also run on Saturday night. Sha Tin proved too strong, and I guess the disappointment there was the short price favourite Party On, who finished third. But there's some talk that Dean Braun's keen to put Sha Tin against the boys this week.
I think both top two fillies out of the Oaks last Saturday night are going to be amongst nominations for the Derby this week. Sha Tin, She was perfectly rated in front, and she's really come of age, this filly. Dean Braun's always had a very good rap for her. She hasn't disappointed, and I think the deeper this season goes, the better she's getting. So she's amongst nominations. My Casino Bell, Brad Hewitt, he's missed the bulk of the season, so he's keen to make up for lost time, and he said that she's taken no harm from the Queensland Oaks. So both of those fillies will be amongst nominations for the Derby on the weekend.
And what about your triad finals? Now, for the Queensland Bred Horses, there's two Group 1s on Saturday night for the boys and the girls. Is there standouts in either of those divisions?
At this point, I'd say the two standouts for the Colts and Geldings are going to be Colt 31 and Corey William. They look to be really nice, improving types. And as far as the fillies, this looks to be wide open, and the barrier draw is going to have a major say on the outcome of that race. Art's Treasure, if she draws well, she can certainly bounce back. She had a whole heap of problems there on Saturday night, but she's a quality filly, but the barrier draw will be crucial for the fillies.
So biggest night of the year for you, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. Grand Circuit status for the Blacks are fake for the first time. $200,000. This is going to be a very good race.
All right. Well, mate, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and good calling again on Saturday night.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Chris Barsby, the man behind the binoculars for Saturday night's Blacks are fake. So there you heard it. Run it at Grand Circuit level for the first time. It's a $200,000 race. Now, the horses that get in are Avanova, Joy's a Babe. They're exempt for ballot. And there's one other as well. I think you might find Spammy Days gets in with his victory. And then you're going to have all of the horses that we saw on Saturday night, you know, horses the quality of Hector JJ, Lenny the Shark, Myfield Marshall, Mac Doro. And then you add to those horses that the ones that Chris has said is the new blood for the race, Major Crocker, Tiger Tara. Spoke with Kevin Pizzuto last night. He's extremely happy with Tiger Tara. Can't wait to get to Queensland. And then you've got Mr. Mojito, who was the horse that competed so well for Australia in New Zealand at the New Zealand Jewels. So that will be an absolute cracking race. Barrier draw, super important. Spoke with Luke McCarthy, who drove Mac Doro on Saturday night at Albion Park. After the race, he was happy with Mac Doro. He said it became a sprint home. It nearly became impossible for us to win the race after they'd gone 600 metres. But he was extremely happy, and he said it's a totally different story once we get over the 2,600 metres. It's the 1,600, you got gate speed, and horse like Hector JJ, there, once he crossed his stablemate, Lenny the Shark, there didn't look to be a lot of attack in the race, and that's how it panned out. Totally different story when you got the likes of Major Crocker, Tiger Tara, Mr. Mojito joining that bunch. So that should be an absolute cracking race coming up on Saturday night. Adam Hamilton, myself and Brittany Graham bringing you all the action on Sky Racing. And back again next Tuesday with all the information. But Cozzy, that wraps up another On The Pace. Looking forward to Albion Park again on Saturday night.
Terrific. Good on you, Greg. Have a good week.
You too.